Podcast 32, Mary and Herod, Ordinary and Famous. The Gospel reading associated with this podcast is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Have you ever wanted to be famous? Have you ever wanted to have that moment when you step out onto the stage for New Zealand's Got Talent or The X Factor or some other talent show? And you open your mouth to sing, and then as the beauty and power of your voice takes over, the judges' jaws drop and the audience start applauding. Well, you get my drift. Anybody? Ah, well, only me then. I guess the reverse of that coin, being famous, is being, well, ordinary. There used to be an old New Zealand folk song about this. It started off with the line, I'm just an ordinary joker, getting old before me time. But me heart's in Taumarunui, on the main trunk line. So today's gospel tells the story of Mary and her encounter with the angel, who tells her she is to bear the Messiah, the Christ. And rather than comment directly on this account, I want to treat it as a kind of window into the sort of person Mary was, because I want to compare Mary with another key person in the Christmas story. Mary, as we all know now, was the mother of Jesus, but in her own day, she was also a very ordinary person. The most famous person of this era of Israel's history is probably Herod the Great, the king of Judea when Jesus was born. Now, if we'd been resident in Judea at the time of Jesus' birth and been asked to name a famous person, Herod, though not a popular choice, would definitely have made the list. He was the king of Judea, a client king appointed by Rome, and one of his official titles was King of the Jews. And that is why he is so upset when the wise men come searching for the one who is born to be King of the Jews, because this is the exact official title granted to Herod by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Herod himself was not a Jew, although he observed Jewish customs, including the dietary laws. He was an Idumean or Edomite. Today we would probably call him an Arab. He instituted an amazing building program in Judea. He built palaces at Jericho, Jerusalem, Herodium, Caesarea, and Masada. And he built two complete new cities from scratch, one at Sebaste, which is the Greek word for Augustus, and one on the coast called Caesarea Maritima, which was his base in Judea. But Herod's crowning glory of architectural work was the construction of the temple in Jerusalem. This was begun around 20 BC and not completely finished until 63 AD, in other words, 83 years in construction. Then the Romans destroyed it completely in 70 AD, 7 years after it was completed, when the Roman general Titus besieged Jerusalem and sacked it and razed the temple to the ground. However, Herod the Great was infamous as well as famous. We know from the Gospel story that he killed the babies under two in Bethlehem to try and stamp out the threat to his throne from this new King of the Jews. Given the size and demographics of Bethlehem at the time, the death toll was probably around 20 to 25 infants under 2 years old. Nor was being a member of Herod the Great's family without risk. He executed a number of members of his family, including his mother-in-law, one of his 10 wives, Mariamne, and 3 of his sons. The Roman emperor of the time, Caesar Augustus, remarked that it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. And this was because Herod, although only nominally Jewish, observed the Jewish dietary laws and wouldn't eat pork. So if you were a pig on one of his farms, you were safe. But as a son, you might be suspected of plotting to take his throne and therefore executed. Now, there was a list in Proverbs existing when Herod the Great was king, which talked about the things that God hates. And even though Herod is famous, he ticks all the boxes in this list. The first item, haughty eyes. Herod was undeniably a proud man. The second item, a lying tongue. He lies to the wise men about wanting to worship the baby Jesus. The third item, hands that shed innocent blood. He orders the slaughter of the babies in Bethlehem. The fourth item, a heart that devises wicked schemes. He plots to kill Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. The fifth item, feet that are quick to rush into evil. He executes five members of his own close family. Sixthly, a false witness who pours out lies. He lies to the wise men. And seventh, a person who stirs up dissension in the community. I think that's given from the other six. At the end of his life, as he lay dying, Herod knew he was not loved by the people he ruled. So he decided that even though he would not be mourned when he died, there would be a day of mourning across Israel. So what he did was he ordered his troops to gather a large number of people from the wealthy families across Judea and put them all in the Jericho Hippodrome or racecourse. They were guarded by his soldiers, who had orders when they heard that Herod had died to kill all the people in the Hippodrome. That way, there would be a day of mourning in Judea, even though it was not for Herod himself. Fortunately, when the news of Herod's death was brought to the soldiers, their commander sensibly let all the hostages go back to their homes unharmed. In contrast to Herod the Great, who was a famous person of his time, we have Mary, a very ordinary person. She is a poor young woman living out her life in a small town, Nazareth, in what is a backwater province, Galilee, of a backwater nation, Judea, in the Roman Empire. Galilee, like Taumarunui, was a bit out of the way. It was rural, provincial, mainly a network of small villages, with only a few major cities. Yet this very ordinary young woman shows how extraordinary she is when the angel visits her and tells her she is going to give birth to the Messiah. Mary, as a young woman, probably about 14 or 15 years old, takes a huge risk when she agrees in reply to the angel to bear Jesus as her child. As a betrothed woman, she could have been publicly or quietly divorced by Joseph and left to live out her life in disgrace, probably banished from her home village of Nazareth. Worst case scenario is she could have been stoned to death for adultery. And yet when Mary meets Elizabeth in Jerusalem, she pours out what the Bible record titles Mary's song. This is contained in Luke 1, verses 47 to 55, commonly called the Magnificat in the Anglican liturgy. And it's a spontaneous song of praise to God that is still being recited by the community of faith 2,000 years after Mary originally spoke it. Not a bad memorial for an ordinary person. What does Mary say in this song? She glorifies and praises God and contrasts her ordinary life, which is God has changed forever, to those who are already wealthy and famous. As verses 51 to 53 state, Mary says, "He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent empty away." Unlike Herod the Great, Mary ticks none of the boxes of Proverbs 6 in terms of the list of things that God hates. So if we took a poll in 6 to 7 BC of 10 people living in Judea most likely to become famous and be known throughout history, Herod the Great would definitely have been on the list. But no one in their wildest dreams, including the people in the village of Nazareth, would have picked Mary. So what lessons can we draw from these two people, who are both key players in the drama of the Christmas story? Firstly, it's okay to be famous, as long as it's the right kind of famous. Do you want to be famous like Mary, or famous like Herod the Great? Or to give a more modern example, do you want to be famous like Michael Jackson, or famous like Mother Teresa? It's okay to be famous, as long as it's the right kind of famous. Because as Mary's song explains, God promises to bring down the rulers from their thrones and lift up the humble, to fill the hungry with good things, but send the rich empty away. Secondly, God can use ordinary people in extraordinary ways for his loving purpose. If you see yourself as an ordinary person, take heart. God knows who you are. He has a purpose for you and all that you do.